This is Harry Murray and Murray's Flash Shop in Edinburgh. We're recording our podcast for January this month. Often in the trout fishing game, even during the winter, a lot of the trout feed on the Chironomid midges. Now, these will often be very, very large trout. They'll fake you out. You're seeing a small fly on the water, and all of a sudden it disappears in a delicate dimple. You think it's a dink, and sure enough, it turns out to be a big trout. So what I did several years ago really blew my mind. My fly shop here on Main Street in Edinburgh, Virginia, is just about one block from the from Stony Creek, which flows through town. I got bored in the middle of the winter, and I walked over and looked off the creek bridge down at Stony Creek, and the sides of the stream from the bank out toward the middle of the river for about 10 feet were solid ice. The only open water was what was flowing down the middle. Now, much to my surprise, there were probably 10 or 12 trout out there rising to these midges. So I just couldn't believe that. So naturally that evening I had to give them a try and see what goes on. Now, in a very important part of fishing midges, now this is the Diptera, the Chironomid midges. They're down, they're down in the size 20 to down 24 size. But an important part of fishing to these midge feeders is seeing whether they're taking the adult on the surface or whether they're taking the emerger headed toward the surface. Because we fish them entirely different and with different flies. All right, now the guy that's feeding on the surface is pretty easy to identify. He leaves when he comes up and takes that adult midge off the surface of the water, he leaves a little dimple with expanding concentric rings going out. Very delicate, will fake you out on the size like I was talking about, but if you see that delicate little rise, then you know he is coming up in the surface and sucking that natural in just like he would a big mayfly in a hatch in the summer. All right, now, my favorite flies for fishing for that is the Mr. Rapidan dry midge in a 18 or 20, the Murray's dry dark stonefly in an 18, and the Murray's bronze dry stonefly in an 18. Now, if that guy is on a feeding station, if he's actually holding on a feeding station where there's enough current to bring flies to him, what I like to do is cast about 3 feet upstream from him on a current that'll bring it back naturally to him, just like you would on any hatch, and then strike when he comes up and sips it in. The problem is often we see a lot of big trout feeding on sloughs, we call them out west on the spring creeks and that kind of thing, backwaters where the current is real slow. Those guys are actually feeding on the surface now, but they're going to cruise around those backwaters, big eddies, sloughs, whatever you want to call them. I have seen my son on that nice big slough up in the upper part of Armstrong Spring Creek, probably 50, 100 yards downstream from the spring. I've seen Jeff stand back there for 3 or 4 hours fishing for those big trout back there that are cruising around feeding on these adult midges. Now, what you do on a cruiser is just try to identify your particular trout. Try to see his cruising path and then drop it out couple feet in front of him and just hope he's going to zig when you think he's going to zig. Now, trying to see those real small flies, and often in light, low light conditions we have on these streams at this time of the year, it's difficult to see. What I do is use my scientific anchor indicator, and I cut about 1/8 of an inch off of that and slide that onto my leader, probably 3 to 4 feet upstream from the fly. Then I make my cast, my dry is out there on the water. If I can't really see it quickly right away, I can see that little tiny piece of that SA indicator. Then I know my dry is out there just behind it someplace. So I'm not using it as a strike detector. That's not the game. This is just to help me see my fly on the water so I can spot that SA indicator. I know that dry is out there, and zap, I'll get that fish. Now, the guy that's feeding on the emerger, this is the emerging midge coming up off the bottom of the stream. Often they'll take these, I'd say probably within 6 inches to an inch below the surface. Now, what's going on there? These trout will actually race to take that emerger as he's coming up off the bottom. They'll grab him someplace before he reaches the top. Then that commotion and even a jumping fish that we see is actually the splash that his inertia creates when he grabs that midge. He's not jumping up and taking them in the air, some people seem to think. But he's taking that fly on the way to the surface. Then the speed of his body, his inertia, just throws him up on the surface or throw out of the water and whatnot. Now, the way I like to fish for those guys, I use, say, a brassy or a zebra nymph, something like that. And I cast that about 3 feet, maybe 5 feet upstream of where I see that commotion. And I get tight to that and kind of lift it slowly to the surface as it approaches that feeding trout. This is like the old Jim Lissingling's lift. And it is very effective. And they'll see that headed toward the surface. And they'll hit it quickly. Now, sometime they're going to be on a tight line as you're lifting that, and it's very easy to break these guys off. See, we're fishing 6X, 7X leader. So when he hits, he's on a tight line, so set the hook gently so you don't snap him off. But the one-on-one midge fishing, especially during the winter, is one of the most exciting things I've ever done. All right, since the smallmouth fishing has slowed down a little bit, let me take this time to just talk about winterizing the tackle. First thing, let's look at some of the flies. I sort my flies into three categories. Those are in good shape, ready to go, put them back in the box and don't pay attention to them. Those that are over the hill, parts are coming off, just a terrible mess, throw away, go ahead and throw them away. Now, the third category are those flies that can be salvaged with a little attention. The typical example is your dry fly that gets matted hackle and all that. What I do with those, I hold those with a pair of long nose tweezers and very carefully hold them over the steam coming out of a teapot on my kitchen stove and steam those, and it's amazing. They'll just in a matter of a couple seconds, they'll pop right back into life and look as good as new. So steam your matted dry flies, but now be real careful because that steam is hot. So use long nose pliers or even a pair of pliers out of your basement or something like that. But just don't get your fingers right in front of that steam. Now, some of those, especially streamers, you'll see the head starting to come untied, messed up or something like that. It's an easy matter to stick that in your vise, go in and throw another whip finish on top of it and coat that with head seam in it. So that's a good way to salvage a lot of your flies that otherwise you'd be losing. All right, now let's talk about the reels. Be sure and follow the manufacturer's direction on cleaning and oiling or not oiling the reels. A friend of mine not so long ago oiled one of the reels that the manufacturer said don't oil, turned into jello in there, and he had to send it right back to the manufacturer and get them to revive it. So be sure and use your manufacturer's directions on any reel work you're doing. I use all hardy reels. My main two reels used in Montana and here in Virginia are two different sizes, of course, of the old hardy pre-Reisha Perfect. Those are unbelievably good. I clean the inside with a Q-tip with cleaning fluid. I clean the back of the spool. I clean the frame. I clean everything, especially the pillar around the drag system. I clean everything with a Q-tip and that cleaning fluid. Then I wipe that down good and put a very, very light coat of oil, such an old sewing machine oil, some light oil like that, or a very light grease. And do that about once a year and you'll be in good shape. Be sure and put a drop of oil on the center spindle. I have seen some reels that people didn't pay attention to that the spool actually adhered to the center spindle. But put a drop of oil there once or twice a year and you got it made. Rod care. I'm pretty careful on this. Trips before I go out west or anywhere, and during the winter this time of the year when I have time, I'll get my fly rods out and I scrub them, take them apart, scrub them down each section. Most of my rods are four-piece rods, and scrub them down with an old toothbrush with dish detergent, especially around the guides. Get that junk out around the guides. I even clean the grips and the reel seat, but I scrub the whole works real good with a toothbrush and dish detergent. Now rinse all that off, set it aside overnight, two nights, make sure everything's good and dry, and then I put some Glide line dressing on a paper towel and go back and sort of dress the whole rod, so to speak, not the grip and reel seat, just the stick itself. And then I have to take another paper towel and go in and buff all that down. What that does, if you're fishing in the winter, it's going to keep the water from adhering to the guides and freezing up so badly. Another thing, if you're using a rod where distance is a factor, you're going to be able to shoot line like crazy with that thing. So I personally find that's very important, and it's easy to do. Now, care of the lines. I use a five-step process. First thing I do is I wash the line real carefully with a paper towel, the whole fly line, that it's going to be out in the head of the guide. I don't go all the way back to the backing. But what, to say the top 60, 70 feet. I wash it with a paper towel, Dial soap or Ivory soap. Then I rinse all that off. Then I dry it with a paper towel. Then once that line is dry, I put Glide line dressing on the paper towel and dress the whole line very, very carefully. Now, this is the fifth step is extremely important. Rub that down just as if you're going to rub all of it off. The line dressing that gets down in the pores of the line does the job. So wash it, rinse it, dry it, dress it, and then rub it down completely. And that'll add length of life to your raw line and make it cast a whole lot better. Cleaning vest and pouch. Often I'll wash these in my washing machine on a gentle cycle. Sometime I'll use whisk detergent, but just go easy on that. And then be sure and rinse them all out. And I line dry all my pouches and vests. I don't put them in the dryer. Raincoats. Be sure and follow the manufacturer's directions. I just did mine a couple days ago. And following the manufacturer's direction on the label, I wash mine in the washing machine with Revivex Synthetic Fabric Cleaner. That's Revivex Synthetic Fabric Cleaner. That washes it all very, very carefully. And then once you get it washed and rinsed and rinse all that stuff out of there, then I apply the Revivex Spray-On Water Repellent. Stick that in my dryer at a medium heat and tumble that dry for 60 minutes, and that's got it cleaned, it's got it waterproofed, and it's ready to go. Now, I use a Bootfoot wader. So what I do to take care of my waders is a similar process, but I do that in the bathtub and scrub them down real good on the outside in the bathtub, on the outside only, of course, with Revivex Synthetic Fabric Cleaner. In the bathtub, wash all that in there good, then rinse it all off good, and then while they're wet, I spray those with Revivex Spray-On Water Repellent. I hang those on the basement clothesline and let them drip dry, and then I'm ready to go. So those are some of the things I do to winterize a tackle, and you know, it kind of breaks the monotony during the winter and then makes everything work better. If you have any questions on any of this, give me a call at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.